Hey, 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 this is Cami Pentecost Dempsey, and you are listening to What Leaders Do. As leaders, we know our leadership is not defined by what we say. It's all about what we do. This podcast is going to help you become the legendary leader you were destined to be.
I am so excited for today's episode because we're going to talk about something every successful entrepreneur needs to know, and that's how to have great time management. Now, before we get started on this journey today, I want to tell you a little bit about, you know, a time where this really hit home for me. It's funny because it's amazing how many things my children teach me. And on this cruise in 2015, we had taken our children on a cruise, a Disney cruise, actually. And I am telling you, I don't know who was more excited, the kids or the adults, but on that particular trip, all I can say is we could not fit in enough stuff. And we were running from early in the morning till late at night. And I'll never forget one night as we're running through the halls of the cruise ship, you know, my son, my oldest son, Landon, was like, "Mom, we're going to do this. And then we're going to do this. And then there's a midnight movie and we're going to do this." And I remember thinking as we're sprinting to the next excursion, "Are you kidding me? Is this vacation? Oh my goodness." And I stopped, I paused, I looked at Landon. I was like, "Listen, buddy, we can do anything on this cruise ship, but we cannot do everything. So we're going to have to choose and really prioritize so we don't miss the best parts of this vacation." And you know, the minute that came out of my mouth, I remember pausing and thinking, interesting. What a teachable moment for myself in the area of leadership. And ever since that day and that moment on that Disney cruise with my oldest son, Landon, I have started using that you can do anything, but you can't do everything, to really get intentional with my time and to essentially work smarter, not harder. So I don't believe there's one system that works for everyone, but I do want to share some of my favorite tips and tricks and systems for finding your focus and organizing your time. I truly believe if you don't tell your time where to go, it's going to go somewhere. And if you let that, and you know, success doesn't happen by chance. It truly does happen by choice and intentionality. So with that said, I want to go ahead and introduce you to something I use and implement in my business every day. And it's a perfect, you know, it's a perfect system for that brand new person in business, as well as that mega leader that their no is just as important as their yes. And so I want to introduce you to something I like to call a six list, a daily six list. And as a matter of fact, I call it an I get to list rather than a to-do list, because every time I hear the word to do, I have to do, or I hear have, H-A-V-E, I have to do something, I feel bogged down. I feel like my attitude changes from something that I am blessed to be a part of to something that, oh, here we go again. It's another thing I just got to do. So, you know, I just want to encourage you to apply this trick into your daily business life, because what I have found is when I put my daily six list in play at night before I go to bed, I honestly am much more productive, because number one, I try to do these six things as early in the morning as I can, because I know I'm most productive in the morning. Also, these six items. And why did I pick six items? I mean, what on earth about these six items? Why not 10? Why not 20? Because quite frankly, again, we can do anything, but we can't do everything. And the way I look at it is this, is if I get serious about doing six income producing activities for my business every day, no matter what level I'm at, I'm going to be able to lay my head down at night and feel really good about what I got accomplished that day. So the whole idea of this six list is just to be intentional and to, you know, I find if I don't do the six list, the whole day goes by and I wonder where my day went. And In being an entrepreneur, our phone can ring off the hook all day long with impromptu meetings, messes that we've got to clean up. And when I have this daily six list in place, sometimes I don't even look at my phone till I get these six items done. Now, I know, and I obviously realize, not all of these six things can always be done first thing in the morning. But it's also a great way for me to be intentional with my time working a full-time job with a busy family life and kids and lots of activities. I can work these six things in and through my daily agenda that is already in place with my children. So with that being said, let's talk about how I choose these six items. How do I know what goes on these six items every day? And before we get started on how to choose the six items, let's back up just for a minute here because, you know, the reason I do this at night before I go to bed is because then when I wake up, my feet hit the ground, I know exactly what I need to do that day to be the most productive. Also, if I have a really busy week, I may actually set my six list each night in place on Sunday night. Now, here's the deal. I try to do it daily because, you know, in a perfect world, we get all six things done and then some. But there will be days where you might only get four of the six things done and two of them will carry over, right? So you'll have to readjust and re-plan out your day, if you will. But if you can kind of tentatively set this up on the Sunday before the week ahead, whoo, talk about a good week where you have got everything in place. And I say all the time, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. So we want to be very intentional with this daily I get to six list. And if you're new to business, cut it in half. Three items is better than nothing. And if you're feeling overwhelmed and just not sure exactly what building a business day in and day out looks like, maybe you're new to this whole time management and being an entrepreneur, then cut it in half and start small, but work to get to that daily six items that you can do to build your business. Now, when it comes to choosing those six items, I use a rule called the three R's, okay? If it doesn't build recognition, if it doesn't build retention or revenue, then it shouldn't be on my list. It should be nothing. I should not be doing it, especially as a leader. Again, we have to work smarter, not harder. So let's spend some time talking a little bit about what these three R's might look like. You know, first of all, when I think of retention, okay, I think about taking care of the team that I already have in place, the customers that I have already using my products, okay? This is, you know, communicating on a regular basis, checking in, see how things are going, going to events with them, doing business building, revenue building, daily activities with them. I truly believe that, you know, early on with a new team member, we want to get in the trenches with them. We want to put in place that see it, do it, teach it. Allow them to see us doing what we're asking them to do. And then they do it and we support them. And next thing you know, they'll turn around and start teaching it. So part of retention is not just working with our customers and making sure that they're happy and they're getting great results, but it's also coming alongside our team members and doing this business with them day in and day out. Probably one of my favorite things about doing a home-based business like this is, while I might be in business for myself, I don't have to be by myself while I'm working this business day in and day out, and either do our team, okay? So little things that go far is telling people how much they mean to us, writing them little notes that can be both a customer and a team member. Other customer retention type ideas that I have put in place would be something as simple as communicating with my customer to show them how they can change monthly orders, order additional items, maybe customer appreciation parties, sending them, you know, envelopes with a catalog, a handwritten thank you card, maybe sending them samples of the products. And I like to try to follow a three-step follow-up system called a 2x2x2 method, okay? You know, right away when they sign on being a customer with me, I like to follow up with them within 48 hours. That's 2 days, okay? Their order's been placed. I can teach them anything they might need to know about logging in, changing their order, placing additional orders, and just asking any questions that they might have. You know, and I really believe that people buy people all day long. And so I really want to build that relationship with this new customer so that they feel like I'm someone they can trust to share their true feelings and intentions, as well as challenges and struggles that they're having, because that's really how we're both going to be, you know, the best we can be in this relationship. And then 2 weeks later, by then they should have got their first order, right? They should have started using the order. If not, I can coach them how to do that. I can encourage them to get started, or I can go meet them and help them get started, whatever that might look like. And then 2 months later, I like to follow up for sure, if not before that, to just simply check in and see how things are going. Do we need to adjust what they're doing? Are they getting the results that they wanted to have? Are they meeting their budget goals? And is there anything that we can change or adapt? I also like to send my customers a card at Thanksgiving, just telling them thank you for helping me be in business because of their contribution. I love being an at-home mom. And you know, while I am definitely still working, I get to set my schedule. I get to be at my kids' activities when it's important for me to do so, volunteering in their classroom, and just tell them how thankful I am for being a part of that with me and supporting me in this journey and making my dreams come true. You can't say thank you enough. I like to send them birthday cards, anniversary cards if it makes sense. If I find out somebody's sick, you know, obviously sending them flowers if they lost someone, really building that relationship strong. Now let's talk about our team members. How can we build retention with our team members? Other than supporting them and making sure they get off to a great start with their business, I believe we can do life with them. It's not just about, you know, making sales together. It's about doing life together. You know, we love to get our kids together. We love to do Bible studies together. Again, celebrating birthdays and anniversaries and promotions along the way, not just big, but small as well. And, you know, I also like to think of, you know, just allowing our families to be together, vacationing together. Now, maybe all of this doesn't sound up your alley, but I'm sure you're getting ideas of how you can build retention within your team. Other things that you can build retention with is just simply, you know, telling them how much you appreciate them, telling them good job when they've gathered a couple customers. People don't hear job well done enough. Now let's move on to recognition, because that kind of leads me into recognition. I really believe another item that will help us retain our team members is recognition. You know, shout outs within our team pages are huge. I don't think we talk enough about the good things that people are doing. I think sometimes, unfortunately, we get too focused on what isn't going right and where we aren't yet where we want to be, instead of focusing on where we are and how far we've come. And I think it's so easy to give shout outs, to recognize the right behavior. Now, listen to me as I say that. We want to recognize the right behavior indirectly and directly. It's amazing how social media can truly do that. Being a friend, a really good friend with somebody on your team that might not be doing the right things to get the right results in business, you have to be careful that you're not plastering your social media with pictures of you out doing life with them. I'm not saying you can't do life with them, but this is an example about how we have to get really intentional about rewarding the right behavior, okay? Another way we can easily build recognition is simply hosting events or team calls or Zooms or training opportunities where we highlight this individual. We have them talk about something that they're doing well. We really edify them among their peers. That's a great way to recognize. Again, handwritten cards, small gifts, those always go far. But it doesn't have to be something that you spend money. I do believe once you can afford to, then definitely start investing in your team with this area of recognition. And I think, you know, even putting someone in charge of a task, you know, showing them that you truly believe that they can do it. That doesn't mean, honestly, that there might not be this part of you that feels like, oh, but can they do it as good as me? At the end of the day, they may not be able to do it as good as you right now, but they will be. And they'll never be able to duplicate if you don't give them opportunities to step out and take those risks. I can promise you, when I started in my business, when I gave that first presentation or sat down and did a one-on-one, it was not pretty. But I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to practice and to, you know, we get to earn while we learn in this business. And we really want to create opportunities for our team members to do the same thing. And it's going to recognize them along the way. So I believe that kind of gives you a good taste of how we can include the three R's into our six list. And the final R would be, does it build revenue? You know, if it's not personal development or team training and it's not helping you create a bigger check, signing on new customers, new team members, then it shouldn't be a priority when it comes to revenue. Every day you should focus on income producing activities. At least two of the six things should do something to add names to your list or to help you follow up, whether it's a wrap party, a one-on-one, an opportunity to go out and market your product. Those are all income producing activities that will help you produce revenue. You know, calling your customers is not only building retention, but it might be upselling them to another product. You know, getting your distributors to an event for your company isn't just going to create retention as they grow their belief and they grow their confidence. It's going to grow revenue as well, because they're going to be so excited to go out there and talk about more products they're learning about, or they're going to see a bigger picture and cast a bigger vision for what this business can do for their life. That's also going to create revenue. I believe the lifeline of any at-home business is definitely that contact list. And I call that a hundreds list. And if we're not building and growing our network on a daily basis, reaching out to people about our products or our business plan, you know, getting these products in front of people, allowing them to taste, touch, see, smell the products should be a focus that we have every single day. So, those are the three R's. I know you have a little bit of an idea now of how you can incorporate those three R's into just daily business building activities. And if you're still feeling stuck, you know, this is just the beginning of the conversation. You know, start making lists of ways that you can build revenue, ways that you can build, you can provide recognition, and ways that you can, you know, have a greater retention with your customers and team members. What does that look like for you? Make a list and start incorporating those things into your daily I get to six list. Now that you know what the three R's are, I want to share another rule that really helps me decide how much of my time to spend in certain areas. And I call that the one-third, one-third, one-third rule. I'm a math teacher. Can you tell? I'm a former math teacher. And one-third of your time in your business should be spent on generating new business. That's that whole building revenue, right? And following up, reaching out to people that you've talked to once, twice, three times. Do you know, on average, it takes talking to someone up to 7 times before they want to meet with you or learn more or sign on with your particular product or business. So we've got to keep following up consistently over time. I've heard countless stories of people saying it just wasn't their time. Their eyes weren't open to this yet. But when they hit a transition in their life where they needed this business or they needed the products, a health scare, you know, a financial scare, just a transition, maybe empty nest now, kids moving into college, kids going to school. The kids were home all day, every day. Now the kids are going to school, and instead of going and getting a job, you want to do something to work from home and really dictate your own schedule. That's why following up is so important. And so one-third of your time is about generating new. A third of your time should also be spent on supporting and training your team. Now, please do not hear me say manage your team. I'm not talking about managing your team. I'm talking about leading your team. And I look at leading your team and supporting your team as something I like to call servant leadership. You know, that's getting to the events. That's talking to their prospects. That's staying out later and meeting with them after for coffee or a meal after or going for a drink. You know, I remember when I was coaching basketball, I told my kids I was watching them. I was looking for the kid that showed up first and stayed late. I was looking for those kids with the strong work ethic. And when I think about being a servant leader, that's what I mean. I mean the person that shows up first and leaves, you know, long after everybody else is gone, because they're making the most of every opportunity to really support their team. And at the end of the day, Supporting their team might look like helping them talk to prospects, but at the end of the day, it's helping them know you're there for them no matter what, that you're invested, not just in your own dreams, but in their dreams as well. And one of my favorite things about home-based business is you can't get where you want to go if you don't help countless other people reach their dreams as well. And so that's that third of supporting and training your team. And what I love is when there's systems in place to train our team, it's pointing to those systems. We never want to be the message. We want to be the messenger and then just go to work consistently each day with our teammates. And you know what I love about this one-third, one-third, one-third rule is when you get really good at this, I can not only support my team, but I can build and generate new business at the same time. Maybe I'm launching a new distributor and I'm bringing a distributor along with me that's kind of been stuck and just needed some time with me, and we've got that car ride to really connect or do some contacting on their list. So I'm doing both. And then a third of the time, I would say, should be designated to personal development. Oh my goodness, personal development has been the lifeline of my business. Tony Robbins says 80% of your success is your psychology, 20% is mechanics. And what I find is most people spend 80% of their time on the mechanics of the business and only 20% of their mind. I know personally, I've done this countless times. You know, when there's a promotion going on within our company, you know, I set personal development aside and use that to do more contacting and more supporting of my team. And what I find is if I'm not healthy, if I'm not being fed, then there's nothing to pour out to my team. There's nothing exciting about doing what I'm doing because I'm just, my energy is all sucked out and I'm really down and dragging, if you will. So personal development is very, very important to me. So while we're on the topic of personal development, since our topic today is on time management, this whole idea that you can do anything, but you can't do everything. So how do we get really intentional with our time? I wanted to share with you three books that I have read that have been very helpful for me in this area. The first one would be The 4-Hour Workweek by Timothy Ferriss. It's the expanded and updated version. And it's, you know, escaping the 9-to-5, live anywhere and be in control of your time. So that one's called The 4-Hour Workweek. That was one of the first books I read ever on time management. The next one I would encourage you to read is Living the 80-20 Way. Work less, worry less, succeed more, enjoy more. And this is that whole idea that we're spending 80% of our time on the 20% that actually produce results, where we should be spending spending 80% of our time with the 20% who actually produce results. Instead, we're spending 80% of our time with the 80% that don't. So the 80-20 way, Living the 80-20 Way by Richard Koch, K-O-C-H, has been a really good read for me. And I've read that every couple of years to stay on point with this whole idea that, again, we got to work smarter, not harder. And then the newest book that I've really been reading that I have been applying to this topic of time management is The Power of a Half Hour by Tommy Barnett. And this really, you know, I know a lot of us teach our teams to work in the power of an hour, but this really even hones in on the half hour. For those people working a full-time job, you know, kids involved in multiple activities, a busy family schedule, the power of the half hour is going to be a game changer for your business and your time management. That's by Tommy Barnett.
All right. I know we covered a lot of information in a very short amount of time today, but that's what time management is all about, right? We're getting focused and getting down to business. And I truly believe in the power of the half hour. So with that said, I want to thank you for joining me on my very first episode of What Leaders Do. And if you loved what you heard today, and I know you did, make sure you leave a quick review and subscribe to this channel to get notified when we go live for our next episode. Until next time, get out there and do what leaders do. Be legendary.